Big news from the Wisconsin Health Department. The state's 7-day average for COVID deaths now stands at zero. None. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent, and researchers are now taking what they've learned from the COVID vaccine to find out what it can do to cancer. As one researcher explains it in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, viruses and cancers are intimately intertwined in their biologies, and they both transform cells into proliferative monsters. And the breakthrough medical technology of the COVID vaccines has now paved the way for clinical trials for a potential cancer vaccine at the Medical College of Wisconsin. So what do you want to know about how these vaccines work? What doubts, if any, do you have left about vaccines? And do you believe we may be heading towards something akin to a cure for cancer in our lifetime? 1-800-642-1234 is the number to join our conversation this morning. You can email us ideas at WPR.org. Our guest is Dr. James Thomas. He's a professor of medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin, also the associate director for translational research at the Medical College of Wisconsin Cancer Center. Dr. Thomas, good morning to you.
Good morning, Lee. Thank you for inviting me.
I appreciate you joining me. We've got some good news ahead of us, but first I want to get an update on where you are with the clinics and how the pandemic has, from your perspective, affected cancer patients.
Well said, Lee. It's really fantastic to kind of be seeing the light at the end of the tunnel from what's been a very long and hard year and a half. As you're probably aware, the COVID pandemic has affected cancer patients and providers kind of disproportionately. People with tough illnesses, with compromised immune systems, have been especially isolated from their loved ones and caregivers, and it's been a rough go of it. And so now that vaccination rates are up and disease prevalence is going down, it's allowing some of those people that are already facing a difficult diagnosis and difficult treatment a little bit of respite as far as being able to be with the people they care about.
Sure, but have we seen patients prolonging their cancer diagnosis, doctor?
So, the question, Lee, I guess, is, you know, one of the things that's been a real concern during the pandemic is people not participating in their surveillance, right? So their colonoscopies and mammograms, their different preventive methods for catching cancer at an early level, that has really fallen off. And we're hopeful that people are going to pick up and make sure they get back up to date as far as getting that important cancer screening test done.
A nice, gentle reminder, Dr. Thomas, to take care of yourself. And the availability is there to do just that with, as you mentioned, a glimpse of the light at the end of the tunnel. So now on to this clinical medical trial from the Medical College of Wisconsin. And to set it up for us, Dr. Thomas, would you give us some idea of where our research currently stands as far as fighting cancers?
Well, I think as the listeners are aware, that we really made, you know, tremendous progress over the last years as far as treating cancer. And one of the main fundamental things that have improved is our understanding of the immune system and using the immune system in a variety of ways to treat cancer. And this is really a quiet revolution that's going on in cancer treatment. And this takes place in more than one aspect. We're going to talk about cancer vaccines in a moment, but really it's really a whole menu of immune therapy treatment approaches that are rapidly advancing and rapidly helping people have dramatic improvements in how they respond to their cancer. And so these include genetically modifying T cells. These are so-called CAR T cells, where we take people's white blood cells out of their body, genetically manipulate them to attack the cancer, and then reinfuse them back in the person. And this has been really a fundamental new treatment that the medical college in Frater has been leading in multiple myeloma, lymphoma, several other diseases. This has really had dramatic results as far as people with really no good therapies left over have exhausted all their treatment possibilities, and they've gone on to these trials and have had dramatic responses and complete responses sometimes to using these genetically modified immune cells. In addition, one of the great advances in the last few years is using immune checkpoint inhibitors. And this is basically our understanding of how cancer, you know, gets its way around the immune system, right? So the reason we don't have cancer all the time is because our immune system is constantly going around and cleaning up cells that are going rogue. And for a cancer to develop in the first place, it has to find a way to stop the immune system from clearing it, from killing it. And now that we figured out how cancer cells often do this, now we can take the handcuffs off the immune system and allow the immune system to get back in the fight. And so these therapies are still in the first few years of really showing their promise. And for some diseases like melanoma and kidney cancer and lung cancer, this has really led to substantial improvements in treatment outcomes for people with really tough diseases.
And when you're talking about these breakthroughs, Dr. Thomas, what's the timeline where we've seen these breakthroughs? Has it been just the last couple of years?
So several of these have been in the development for decades, but a lot of the clinical application has really come about in the last few years. And so for both of these immune checkpoint inhibitors, these genetically modified T cells, that has really become more the common treatment paradigms for cancer for a number of diseases. And now the challenge up ahead is to broaden the applicability, right? To make it so more people with cancer or with other cancers can benefit from these immune-based therapies. And that is partly where some of the new work with vaccines is also leading us.
We're talking with Dr. James Thomas about the future of cancer treatment. He's the Associate Director for Translational Research at the Medical College of Wisconsin Cancer Center. And if you have a question for him in the upcoming clinical trials, you can call us this morning at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. What do you want to know about these vaccines? And what do you want to know about the science? It almost feels miraculous. And as you mentioned, Doctor, this is something that's been decades in the making, but we're seeing the advent or the breakthroughs just within the last couple of years. Is there a tie-in to the amount of medical research that went into developing these COVID-19 vaccines and how we're going to move forward in fighting cancers?
I think that's really an interesting story, Lee, because the COVID story is both the COVID therapies have benefited from cancer research, and then in turn, cancer research is going to benefit from the advances in COVID therapy. So these vaccine technology of using the messenger RNA, so a little snippet of nucleic acid, to try to get the immune system to produce a protein that the body can react to, is something that was developed for cancer vaccines. And so we look at Moderna and some of these other companies that have developed this therapy. It's really, again, been years in the making because it's a lot of individual steps that needed to happen. They needed to optimize how the chemical was made so that it wouldn't get clear too fast. They had to develop the nanotechnology so it would get into the right cells and then actually be translated so that the cells would make the protein that you want them to make and that the right cell would do that. And then finally, also, there's been a great advance in learning what the immune system gets excited about, what types of antigens are more likely to respond to the immune system are going to respond to. And so all those kind of individual steps and individual knowledge and has led to the COVID vaccines. But a lot of the background for this was actually from cancer vaccines that a number of these companies and a number of academic institutions have been working on to try to rev up the immune system, to get the immune system to go after cancer, oftentimes in combination with some of these other immune-based therapies that we discussed.
And Dr. Thomas, as we've been told about the COVID vaccines, it creates a blueprint for your immune system, tells it to go look out for these cells, and when it finds them, protect your body from them. And it sounds like this is much the same immunotherapy or checkpoint inhibitors that have been for viruses, cancers. It starts to seem very similar.
I say a lot of what we've learned about the immune system, how the immune system responds to viruses, a lot of that is translatable to how the immune system responds to cancers. And so each field, each area of scientific inquiry has informed upon the other. And so us learning the steps and learning what's important in viral immunity has led to understanding what types of T cells are involved, how antibodies are involved, what these cells, which are called antigen-presenting cells, which are really important cells that kind of set up the immune system to react to a foreign invader or a cancer cell that's gone bad that now has some mutated proteins that we can respond to. And the other advantage that these vaccines have is that they can actually be personalized and develop relatively quickly. So we know that everyone's cancer is different. And so my colon cancer may have different mutations, different things wrong in the DNA, different things wrong in the proteins than the person next to me. But that can be studied quickly, determine what are those mutations that my cancer has, and then which of those mutations the immune system is likely going to get react to, stimulated by, and then finally you can develop a vaccine that's personalized for that group of person or that individual person that is both specific for their cancer and also designed specifically that the immune system is going to get revved up about it.
Wow. Our guest is Dr. James Thomas. He is a professor of medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin, and we're discussing a new trial that will test new vaccines on patients with a form of lung cancer. If you have questions about it, we've got your answers this morning at 1-800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn, and this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. We now have a number of safe and effective vaccines for the coronavirus COVID-19, and, you know, none of us would want to imagine a world without them again. But now imagine a world with vaccines for some cancers. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we already have vaccines for other viruses like hepatitis B and the human papillomavirus that cause cancer, so you can understand why medical researchers are so intrigued by clinical trials for a cancer vaccine built on the breakthroughs of the COVID-19 vaccines. Do you have questions about the science or perhaps the politics? What questions do you have about this clinical trial for a cancer vaccine? 1-800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Our guest, Professor of Medicine, Dr. James Thomas. He works at the Medical College of Wisconsin, where the one of five clinical trials will be taking place for this cancer vaccine. Dr. Thomas, tell us about the upcoming clinical trials.
Well, Lee, I think I want to talk a little bit about the trials in general. So we have over 200 clinical trials that treat cancer here at the Medical College of Wisconsin in Frederick. And more than half of those involve immune therapy, either CAR T cells, immune checkpoint inhibitors, or vaccines. And so there's vaccine therapies that are being developed in prostate cancer, pancreas cancer, lung cancer, as you mentioned. We can't talk about individual trials to patients because it's an experimental procedure, but just want to encourage people to ask their oncologist about what's available, access to clinical trials, you know, whether it's here or at another academic institution, because it's really a chance to access, you know, the therapies of tomorrow, to have access to those today. And like I said, there's really some palpable excitement around clinical trials and some of these advances that we think we're making steady progress, especially in immune therapy in general. And then how are these vaccine therapies going to augment immune therapy? Because in many cases, they're going to be used in combination, that the vaccine won't be just used alone, but it'll be used with an immune checkpoint inhibitor or with these genetically modified cells to try and make them work better. The other area that is more even early on in investigation is using them as a form of prevention. And again, this is really in the preclinical phase, but using these personalized vaccines, these mRNA vaccines, to have your immune system kind of preloaded to search for some common mutations and try to eliminate those cancer cells before they even develop a, you know, a demonstrable cancer.
So, Dr. Thomas, where are we in these clinical trials for this specific mRNA cancer vaccine? And as you mentioned, there are over 200 at the Medical College of Wisconsin ongoing. So where is this one?
So this one is coming along and will be open soon.
Okay.
And there'll be others also. And so, again, try not to talk about an individual trial, but want to have people to talk to their oncologists, to talk about how clinical trials is really, you know, one of the best options for people with tough cancers, advanced cancers, and that they want to have that dialogue with their oncologist to see what's available in the region.
Dr. Thomas, how do oncologists know which trials are available with over 200 just at the Medical College of Wisconsin?
So there's a number of ways that people can access. So folks can access clinical trials across the whole country on a website called clinicaltrials.gov, where every clinical trial in cancer and even every disease is listed on that website. We also on the Frederick website have a portal where either physicians or patients can look for individual clinical trials that are open for their diseases. And then as always, you know, a lot of times the best time way is to get a second opinion or to talk with a healthcare professional about what's available and whether a clinical trial might be a good option for this individual with their cancer.
Where are you at personally, Dr. Thomas, considering you deal with this every day and we're talking about cancer, which is going to impact all of us in one way or another at some point in our days? Have you seen such breakthroughs that it's hard to, you know, you don't want to get your hopes up, but it's hard not to be excited about what you're seeing?
Well, say, as you said, it's a difficult field. And obviously, as we've talked about, cancer is really tied with heart disease for the number one cause of death, premature death in the state and in the country, where someone dies of cancer in the state almost every 45 minutes. And we still have a lot of work to do. And I have the great privilege to work with 200 scientists and physicians here at this medical college in Frederick, who are working hard every day to develop new therapies and new treatments. And it really is incredibly hopeful that we see that this year, that even with COVID, that we've been able to put a lot of patients on clinical trials to participate in advances. There's a multiple myeloma drug that we are heavily involved with, an immune therapy that involves these genetically modified T cells that is becoming approved, and other therapies that you have a part in that you allow people to have access to and participate in the fight for us to get better. And like I said, it's not a single step, it's a multiple of steps, but really there is palpable optimism out there for cancer treatments, but there's still a lot of work to do. And that work involves people working hard and people going on clinical trials, people funding clinical trials, so that we can continue to make advances. I am very confident that where we're going to be 5 years from now and 10 years from now is going to be substantially better than where we're at right now. And I think immune therapy, along with personalized medicine, are going to be the two pillars for which improved outcomes for cancer patients are going to happen.
So I'm not going to get my hopes up, but I'm going to remain excited about the medical breakthroughs that we are going to be watching for in the future. And I just bring it up because you know that cancer diagnosis is such a... You know what it is. And so to think about what is taking place at the forefront of medical science today may right here in our own backyard may provide some hope. And Dr. James Thomas, our guest, is here to do just that with your questions along the way. Do you have a family or friend that's battled cancer and survived or is taking part in one of these clinical trials? 1-800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Cheryl from Green Bay called, couldn't stay with us. She wants to know if the COVID vaccine can activate dormant conditions or diseases like rheumatoid arthritis. And we should talk about the safety and efficacy of these vaccines, doctor. So what can you say?
And certainly, Lee, not an area that I'm an expert in, as far as I'm not an infectious disease expert. But, you know, certainly it's early on with COVID. We know that it's substantially safe and that it's very effective at preventing what is now the third leading cause of death in the state, which is infection of COVID. As with any vaccine, there's going to be some incidence of side effects and things that we'll learn. And so we have to approach it with some humility and also with some inquisitiveness to make sure that we understand if there's a signal there, that we understand it, and so that we can learn from it for the next pandemic or the next vaccination that are going to take place. And so I think, again, I would probably lead that question to other people that know more about it than I do. But I know it's an area that people are looking into very closely.
And so how will you be measuring the effectiveness of this clinical trial? How do you, in context with the 200 others for cancer treatments at the Medical College of Wisconsin, what sort of data collection, how are you going to be watching this along the way, doctor?
Yeah, and as people are aware, clinical trials are very heavily regulated and scrutinized, and the majority of these trials are looking at efficacy as far as trying to either shrink people's cancer, keep cancer from progressing, people to see if they live longer with the treatment. In many cases, they're being compared, added to standard therapy to see if they see if it works better. There's very few cancer clinical trials that involve placebos. People know up front what they're getting, and kind of the rationale behind why we think this might be a good idea. And so some clinical trials, the early ones are for people that have kind of exhausted all their options. And then we want to make sure that it's safe, that the side effects are reasonable, and then try to find out if there's a signal there to see if the if the cancer is responding, to try to study it as much as we can so that the next clinical trial we can be better at. What do we add to it? How do we combine it with other therapies? Do we combine it with radiation therapy or chemotherapy to try and make it work better? One of the big areas right now is to combine immune therapy with some personalized medicine approaches where we turn off certain pathways in the tumor and then add immunotherapy to that. And it seems like that can make the immunotherapy work much better for more people. And so these are all areas that are just beginning to be looked at. There's some promise there. There's some signals that we think that there's an area that we need to explore more. And we're looking forward to the upcoming months and years that we keep adding to this body of knowledge and get better at how we treat cancer.
Dr. Thomas, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It really was my pleasure. Thank you, Lee.
Dr. James Thomas, professor of medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin, with over 200 clinical trials for cancer treatments ongoing, also the associate director for translational research at the MCW Cancer Center. We're talking Bucks in Game 2 tonight next on The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn. You're listening to the Ideas Network.